You know, when you're on fire, you spend every waking moment to get in there. I mean, when your spirit is in ascendancy, that's the way it is. You can keep yourself there. If you stop making excuses and get your spirit in ascendancy, you start being excited about the things of the kingdom of God. Never in my life has anything been like the last 15 days. Every day, just thinking about going into the love of the Father and drink until you can't drink anymore. That is what's behind that door. Until you can't drink anymore, until you're done. Because I drink until I can't take anymore, and then I walk away. He never walks away, not in that room. You don't struggle to drink of him, of his fullness, of his love. Not in that place. When you make it there, it's everything Jesus said it was. He is everything. The Father is everything he said he was. And his love is eternal. To my knowledge right now, in 15 days, it has not stopped. Now, I'm not talking about it doesn't flow all day long, but when I'm in there, it flows till I can't drink anymore. It's worth all of your spiritual labor to find that room. It's worth it. The revelation that comes when you're with the Father is so expansive and so deep and so wide, you start living for him. And he's true. His love is true. Some of you, you weren't raised in a home of love and you lack in that area. The Father has plenty of it. He's not withholding. That is the greatest lie of all. One of the things you have to learn once you get in the rest, let the Lord escort you into the Father. That's his glory. I don't go in there without him. I let him take me in there. He knows how to reveal the Father. He's been with him for a billion years. He knows how to reveal him to you. He knows exactly what you need. Amen. I want to show you the dynamic of this operation of the Father. The book of John captures the Father healing. It captures the Father working. And it shows the relationship, the Father and Son working together. We're looking at this relationship. What you see the Father doing to the Lord Jesus is what he's going to do with us, especially this last generation. It's the same oneness. And so we have to see the way the Father worked with the Lord in the earth, and then we'll see how he's going to work with us. All of this is progressive. We're not here yet, but Revelation, the beautiful thing about Revelation, lets you see in front. And when you're in this place, you can see very clearly. Amen. So you get to see in front so you know exactly where you're going. I know where we're going. I know where this church is going. I know where we're headed. I know where the body of Christ is headed. We're forerunning, but it's so good to see. If you're walking around in a cloud, you don't know where you're going. So you got to get up above that cloud. Amen. And you get laser focus into the kingdom of God. Look at John 14, verse 8. And Philip said to him, "Show us the Father." Jesus kind of marveled at this one. He said, "Have I been so long a time with you?" Now, the Father spoke directly through the Lord there. He did this two or three times in the book of John. "Have I been so long a time with you and you've not known me, Philip?" The Father just spoke through him. I'm not talking about audibly. He also spoke audibly. We'll see that tonight. And then Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." And then he asked him, "Do you not believe?" This is just threaded through the entire book of John. "Do you not believe that I dwell in my Father and my Father dwells in me? Do you not believe this? Because if you don't believe this, you don't believe the basis for what I'm about to do with you." He requires you believe that. Because if you can't believe in their oneness, you can't get introduced to it. You're not going to have a grid for it. "Believest thou not that I dwell in my Father, my Father's dwell in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. It's the Father that dwelleth in me in the earth that's doing the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake," because they're testifying to this truth. Do you know the works, as you'll find out as we go through this, were testifying not only that he was the Son of God, but more importantly, they were testifying that the Father was with him. That's something you don't hear very often. Amen. even in this first chapter, he begins to introduce this relationship. He goes, you have to believe this because I'm going to bring you to this. We've been over this. He goes, verse 20, at that day, you shall know that I dwell in my Father, and you dwell in me in the Father, and I dwell in you in the earth. That's fullness of demonstration. In fact, he went on to say, it's my Father and I will come and make our abode with you. Not just the Lord. He went on to say, my Father and I will come and make our abode with you in the earth. That's whatever. There's another one when the Father and Son come down and dwell. When the Father dwells, everybody's going to know it. Amen. Now let's look at this relationship of oneness. And we'll read through some of these scriptures. John 8 verse 29. He that sent me is what? With me. Every time you hear the Lord saying I was sent. Sometimes you think when you get sent, the Father's in the throne and you're in the earth. But he said, he that sent me is with me. Say, he's with me. That's big. I remember I had shared this the other day. I woke up in the morning and I had this scripture of Acts chapter 10 just sitting on my chest. I've read this 100 times, 1,000 times. I've preached it a bunch. Read that very carefully. How God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He called him Jesus of Nazareth. Tom brought this out because he was identifying with him. He was operating as a man in the earth, anointed as the Father, as a prototype for all of us. If he did this as the Son of God, you couldn't attain to that in his deity. We're not equal with him in his deity. If he did it from his deity, we couldn't do it. But that is not what you see in John. We constantly see him saying, I and myself can do nothing. It's my Father doing this. It's not me. I'm doing this as a prototype example of all my sons and daughters that are going to follow. I am setting the example and the prototype of how to function with the Father in the earth. Everyone say, amen. He said, how the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all of the oppressed of the devil. And this is the part I never saw. I saw that Jesus was walking around healing everybody with the Holy Ghost. I saw that. I never saw this part. For God, say God, the Father was with him, doing it with him. Say with. That's what the body of Christ is going to attain in this last hour. The Father with us in fullness of demonstration. One thing I know by revelation, when the Father's with us, if there is a blind eye in the room, he does not leave blind eyes blind. When he's present, they're going to see. When he's present, the lame's going to walk. When he's present, the deaf's going to hear. Isn't that glorious? And it's going to be the most effortless. If it's anything like his love that I'm encountering every day, I can tell you it's going to be the most effortless thing you've ever done in your life. You have to work, because what must you do? The work. You have to work to get in by faith. You don't work in the natural, but your faith has got to work to get there. But once you're with him, everything becomes effortless. A glorious flow of the river of Father's love washing you every day. Oh my. I said, Lord, it's not going to be hard to get up in your image when we have this kind of love available to us. And you know, he said, he goes, pretty soon it's going to be with you in the earth where you're with me now. Glory to God. So let's look at some of these miracles, these great miracles the Lord did throughout the book of John. He's always giving credibility to his Father doing it. You know, the miracle of the pool of Bethesda, when the Lord, he's walking through there and all the lame people, and he comes to that man, 38 years of infirmity, and he comes without being made whole. He said, I have no man to put me into the pool when the angel comes to stir the waters. And he says, rise. Now notice how the Lord heals this man, but you don't see the Father in this particular chapter, what's going on. You don't see what's happening. But the Lord says, rise, take up your bed and walk. He often did this. He would give the command. Like the previous chapter before with the nobleman, he said, go your way, your son's healed. He'd say that and then everything would happen. He said, rise, take up your, and that guy rose up. I mean, 38 years on a bed. Could you imagine? I remember when Pastor Chuck shared with me the time we were out being really crazy on Lake Conroe, and they had, we had a wreck out there on the jet ski, and Pastor Chuck, he was like, oh, just take me home. He goes, I'll be fine. I mean, he had broke, four ribs were broken, pelvic bone was broken. He had no idea the condition he was in. And he went to the hospital, and he ended up being in a nursing home for 30 days. And somebody had to take care of him every single day there. And he goes, I cannot imagine anybody would have to live like that for 30 days to have someone. You couldn't do anything by yourself. That man of 38 years couldn't go anywhere. Man, the Lord just turned him upside down. But you don't see what happened till the next chapter. And the Jews, you'd think they were happy. They got mad about it. Because this man's walking around with his bed. He goes, you're carrying your bed on the Sabbath day. See, that's what religion will do for you. Get ready for religion. Because when the glory of God shows up like this, religious spirits will come up. They're going to find something to get angry about. Because they don't know God. They're far from him. And they were all mad about, you're carrying on the Sabbath, so you got to look into the next chapter about what happened. And so he said unto them, verse 15, he said, the man departed and told the Jews what was done and how he was made whole. And therefore the Jews did persecute him and sought to slay him. You're going to find out all through the book of John, they were constantly trying to kill him. Constantly. Because he had done this thing on the Sabbath. Can you believe it? 38 years, they could care less about that man and more about their religion. And notice what happened. And Jesus, he answered, he says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work with him. He goes, you're blaming me? I didn't do that. My Father did that. The one you say is your God, he's the one that did that. The one that you're upset about, the one that you say you serve, he's with me, and he did that. Boy, they didn't like to hear that. Notice what he said. Therefore, the Jews sought more to kill him because he said that. Verse 19, Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say the Son, look at this. You need to see these verses. The Son can do nothing of himself. But what he sees the Father doing, he knew the Father wanted to heal that man. The Father said, we're going to heal him. The Father reached through the Son by way of the Holy Spirit, and he raised that man up. And that's how it's going to work when the Father comes and dwells with us. He repeats it again in verse 30. I and myself can do nothing. People think Jesus was running around with the Holy Ghost all over. No, the Father was with him. Amen. Chapter 9, you really ought to go home this week, read all of chapter 9, because he heals this blind man, he mixes the clay. We got a great revelation about why he mixed the clay with the spittle and all that. I'll give you a 30-second synopsis, because that's what I'm talking about tonight. But every time the Lord was doing something, he was demonstrating. And the reason why he took the spittle and mixed it in the clay, because he was demonstrating that he was creator. Him and his Father were creator, and he took the living waters. He discharged living waters, because I don't know if you know this, spittle is 99% water. And he discharged it, and he mixed it with the clay and rubbed it in a man's eyes. Nobody in recorded history was born blind, was ever healed, except that man right there. Bam. He healed him, demonstrating he was the creator, because that's how God did. When he covered the face of the earth with water, he reached down out of the clay and forged man. Genesis chapter 2, he was just using his original creative power. And they asked him, he said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. That's not what's going on here. But the works of God, the works of my Father, should be made manifest in him. That's what he's saying. I must work the works of him that sent me. Now he shook up the temple. You can read about that. I'm leaving all that out because I'm just honing in that him and his Father's working together. But he shook it up. And all through chapter 9, I mean, that whole temple place was shook up. And it flowed all the way into chapter 10. All the way into chapter 10. I mean, so we're going to pick it up into chapter 10 for time's sake. Chapter 10:19, and there was a division therefore again among the Jews for this saying, and many of them said, he hath a devil, he's mad, why do you hear him? Others said, these are not the words of him that have a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? They're still in the middle of all this. Miracles are going to do that. They are going to shake things up big time. Because God comes on the scene, the Father comes on the scene, he's coming on the scene to shake. He's going to do it again. You haven't begun to see persecution. But when the Father's with you, it doesn't matter. There's not a word a person can say to you that's going to take effect. When he's with you, words will fall straight to the ground. You have nothing to fear when the Father... Don't think about persecution and where you're at. Think about persecution, the Father, you being in the Father and the Father with you. You'll have a wall of steel around you called love. And nothing's going to penetrate that. Jesus constantly said, I'm not alone. My Father's with me. Glory to God. And notice what he says, verse 24. And then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long you make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us. He's talking about the miracle that just happened. Jesus answered, I told you, and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That man that was born blind, that work that I did in my Father's name, that my Father did through me, that bears witness of what I'm saying to you. You can't hear my words. He's saying, you can't hear what I'm saying. Look at these works. They are meant to testify that I am from him. They are meant to testify he's with me. That's the kind of gospel we get to preach. We're heading there. You'll get up there and you'll have encounters, but then the door opens where your faith gets to access every day. When that happens, your life's going to be changed forever. Everything about your life, all of your emptiness is going to fade away. Every day, God has put something in every human being on a daily basis. It's an inner yearning. Whether you're lost or saved, you're going to have an inner yearning that only the Father's love can fill. And the more you go without him filling that, you will grow frustrated and more frustrated. But when you learn how to get that inner yearning position, his love starts opening the veil of your heart. You're talking about a ferocious hunger that gets loosed in you. Thank God. Because when you start touching, I'm telling you something, when you start drinking the Father's fountain of love, there is a hunger and a thirst that's unlike anything in this world. And take your present hunger and magnify it 10 times, 20 times. It gets ramped up. And if he doesn't fill that, or you don't get in position for him to fill that vacancy, you will walk around as a dead man in the earth. But the glorious thing about it is he will fill the vacancy. The Father will not fail you. He loves us with an everlasting love. And his love is glorious. Amen. Notice he keeps on going through here. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, verse 25. I and my Father are one. Many good works I've showed you, my Father. For which do you stone me? Now look down in chapter 10, verse 37, before we get to Lazarus. You see how the Father's working with him? You see every response? He's just not saying that. The Father is literally with him. He's not just saying the Father's with me. He was with him. That's the reality where God's bringing us. But we have to come to dwell with him first. And then he dwells with us here. Amen? So notice what he says, verse 36. Say of him, the Father has sanctified and sent in the world, you blasphemous, because I said I'm the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Who's doing the works? The Father said, if I don't do the works of my Father, he's going to work with you, though. One of the things about answered prayer, you want to learn this, because I'm going to share this on Sunday. The Father only transacts in the name of Jesus or through the name of Jesus. The Father does not transact in the physical. He only transacts in the name or through the name of Jesus. You'll understand more about what I just said on Sunday. when he said it to me, I'm going to say, I need clarification. Amen. If I do not the works. Now, look. I love this verse. Look at verse 38. He said, if I do the works, chapter 10, 38, though you don't believe me, because it's obviously you don't believe me. Have you ever read it this way? I've preached this so many times and never understood what it was saying. The Holy Ghost has got to show you what this is saying. I'm going to read this verse again so you can see it. Verse 38, if I do, though you don't believe me, believe the works. Now, what is he asking them to believe? That you may know and believe what it. He didn't say you know and believe that I'm the Son of God. Not, he says that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. What is he asking them? He said, believe these works because I'm not doing them. He goes, you can't believe what I'm saying to you. That's where the body of Christ is right now with the world system. They cannot hear our words right now. But they're going to see our Father very soon. So he's saying, you can't hear my words. They said, tell us plainly. He goes, I have told you and you can't hear me. So he points them to the works. Why does he say that? Believe these works. Because I'm not doing them. Notice his position is just like you and I. He's under authority. He says, believe. Now, notice what he has to believe that the Father is in me and I'm in him. Believe me that I'm not doing this. Believe me, the Father's doing this. You're persecuting me. You want to stone me. I and my Father are one. He's doing this. The one whom you say he's your God. He's the one demonstrating in front of you and telling you he's changing the way by which you approach him. I'm the only way you're going to be able to come to him now. See, you come with a message like that. That's why a message like this is going to require power. When you come with a message like that to the world, you're not going to just go with words and sit there and try to wrangle around with words and argue with people. You're going to come with demonstration. You could have come with power, but it's not you. The Father's going to come and say, I approve. I approve. Because the kind of works the Father's going to bring, you don't see anywhere, hardly. And when he does, he's going to come on the scene with his sons and daughters in this last hour. And he's going to show up. And everyone thinking the little religious church of America and how they frown and politicians look down and talk down on them, they're going to see a full-blown demonstration of our Father. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at Lazarus. John 11, verse 1. There was a certain man was sick named Lazarus, town of Bethany. And we'll look at verse 4. We're on page 3 again. They heard he'd been sick, and he waited 2 days. And Jesus said something pretty remarkable in verse 4. Boy, religion will do something with this verse too. Lord. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Let me ask you a question. Did Lazarus die? Well, he did. I mean, his body died for 4 days. He was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, and Martha comes up. Lord, by this time he stinketh. 4 days in the grave. He said, this sickness is not unto death. He kept saying, our friend Lazarus, he's sleeping, but I'm going to go wake him up. They finally had to tell him because they kept going, Lord, he's dead. He goes, okay, he's dead. I'm glad for your sake I wasn't there so you'll truly see the glory of the Father now. Because if I was there, he wouldn't have died like you think he's dead, but he's not really dead, not in God's opinion. Because as soon as the Lord said that, death could not hold him. This sickness is not on that. The thing everyone misses with all of this is where the Father's doing. See, they miss what the Father's doing, and everyone's majoring on what the Lord's doing, what the Holy Ghost's doing, but they're missing the element of the Father, and that's why we don't see what we're looking for. Until you get the Father in with all that equation, you won't see it. Amen? He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now, When he says that, he actually defines what he's saying. Because, I mean, religion will say, I mean, somebody get cancer. Well, you know, it's not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. You wear that cancer on your body. That's what religion will do with that. You ever heard anybody say that? They say, well, for the glory of God, you know, you got to suffer for the Lord. For the glory of the Lord, you suffer with that. They take that verse right there. You know, if they just read down in the chapter and find out what he said, they could change their theology a little bit. And he said, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And of course, Martha comes to him, verse 24. Verse 20, Jesus said, the brother shall rise again. They kept saying he's dead. They're all upset. They're all crying. I mean, unbelief everywhere. Nobody heard what he said. Nobody's in tune with him, nothing. And Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Now, that's very important. That is hugely important because you have to understand they are 1 week out right now. They're within days. They're 6 days from him walking into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. This is happening right before he's going to be resurrected. This is orchestrated. What the devil meant for evil, the Father's going to orchestrate a demonstration to show everybody what's about to happen. Glory to God. Verse, he goes, I am the resurrection. Don't forget that. Verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Now, they're right now. This is the end of it now. They're getting ready. He's getting ready to raise Lazarus from dead. And everybody said the power of Jesus' word. But nobody sees what the Father's doing. In fact, you can't know the Father's really there. He says one word that'll tell you the Father's there. But then chapter 12 will tell you why the Father was there. You won't know the Father's there. But he already said it. It's for the glory of God. Who do you think he's talking about? His sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of the Father. That the Son of the Father might be glorified in your midst. To know, for you all to know that I am the resurrection and the life. Take away the stone. And Martha. Oh, here comes Martha. Verse 39. The sister of him that was dead said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. I mean, he is rolling the stone away and unbelief is walking right up into him. He is commencing to operate for the raising of the dead with his Father, and everybody was there. You'll see how many people are there in a minute. And Jesus said unto her, did I not say to you, and here's what he meant, this sickness is not undead by the glory of God, did I not say to you, that if you would believe, verse 40, you would see the glory of my Father. That's what he was saying. This sickness is not a death, but it's the glory of my Father. He goes, you're full of unbelief. But did I not say to you, if you would believe, Martha, you would see. I told you he's not going to die, even though his body died. God doesn't consider death in the body death. He said, did you not believe that you would see the glory of my Father today? Who's doing the raising of the dead? The glory of the Father. That's what he said. And they took away the stone. Now notice this. He prays. Watch this. He prays to the Father. Everybody, there's multitudes around him. This is not a little two or three person miracle. He's 4 days in the grave. They're rolling away the stone. There are a bunch of people around him, and he prays audibly, and watch what he says. Verse 41, they took away the stone, the place that the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted his eyes. Verse 41 said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you heard me always, that you hear me always, but because of all the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you sent me, that they may believe that you're doing this, that they may believe what he's saying. I'm praying aloud so everyone here will know it's for your glory. It's the glory of the Father that everyone will see today. But he's going to raise the dead today. 4 days in the grave. Because another resurrection's coming too. have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Amen. I know you hear me. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I mean, the Father was calling him out. Now notice what happened. Oh man, it started shaking up. Here's how dumb religion will get. 53. It said, then from that day forth, they took counsel how they might put him to death. He just raised somebody from the dead and you're going to try to kill him? He just showed that he's the resurrection and the life, and you're going to try to kill somebody like that? They actually went into a council room and talked about it. We're going to have to kill this guy. I'm thinking somebody had to scratch their head. Say, wait a minute. He just raised somebody from the dead 4 days, and you're wanting to kill him? Why were they so mad? Verse 45, for many of the Jews which came to Mary, which had seen these things Jesus did, believed. When you see things like that, you will believe. Listen, America's like a burnover field. Everyone's hearing the same stuff. Just some new personalities coming. Some new conversation, saying the same thing. But when this kind of combine harvester shows up, with miracles, signs, wonders, and when the Father shows up and starts doing things like this, people that didn't believe will start believing like that. Let me ask you a question. If you'd have called Lazarus out of the grave and nothing happened, the stone was rolled red, and you did your best faith movement you could possibly muster, but you weren't quite there and the Father wasn't there operating with you and all those people around, do you think they would believe? How many people are going to come to God in this last hour when the Father shows up through the Lord Jesus by way of the Holy Ghost with you? Four people. God is going to come and have it. Our temple. Pretty glorious. Chapter 12. This is after he raises, 6 days after he raised Lazarus from the dead. In the Passover, he went to Bethany where Lazarus had been dead, and they made him a supper. And Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that were at the table. That's just 4 days in the grave, and you're eating dinner with him. And there was a lot of people that heard about this. You're going to be amazed here in a minute if you will not go and read the rest of that page. Verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake. You mean they showed up not to see Jesus himself? But they came that they might see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, I love you. God bless you. But I really want to see this man. I heard you raised from the dead. My eyes got to see it for myself. I'm going to talk to him. Thank you. I understand what you do in your mission and all that for the Father. I get all that. But I just want to talk to him. I mean, here in 4 days in the grave. Come on, I mean, what they're saying. I mean, 4 days. Are we kidding a little bit? What, you get pneumonia or something? What's up? 4 days, yeah, 4 days. You want to smell my grave clothes? I kept them here just for people like you. Got to watch them grave clothes. You know, they gave them grave clothes to Stephen with all that blood on it, to Paul. He was Saul at that time. He was watching over, consenting unto the death. And he stuck those clothes in his bag. And he walked on to Damascus. And the God seized him because that blood of Stephen was crying out. That isn't a blood that made intercession. That's how Saul was converted. It was the intercession of Stephen's blood that caused the conversion. That's not in your notes. Thank you. Thank you. It caused the conversion. God just doesn't go fall on people without some type of intercession taking place. If he did, he would go fall on everybody in the earth and we would all go home. Stephen's blood cried out and it gave the authority of God and the Holy Spirit to seize Paul, one of the greatest conversions in human history. It's all on Stephen's account. Wow. Pretty powerful. Chapter 12, Lazarus was with them. They might see Lazarus. That didn't set well with the chief priest. You know why? They're losing their money. They're losing their people. They're losing their authority, their preeminence with the people, because they don't have what he's got. And if they would have followed him and lowered their pride, he would have given all of them the same thing he's got. But instead, they fought him instead. And the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. I mean, this is the chief priest talking. Consulted. I mean, he has other stupid people with him. They have the spirit of stupid on them. I said, we're going to put him to death. Did anybody just speak up and say he was dead for 4 days? How are you going to kill a man that just came out of the grave? That's what religion does for you. It blinds you to stupidity. Because, and this is what they were mad about, verse 11, by reason of him, Lazarus now, many people of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So they were mad at Jesus. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill Lazarus. And the next day, say next day, much people were coming to the feast. Now they're moving into the streets of Jerusalem. And they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Remember Palm Sunday? Took palm branches. You ever seen the movie where all the multitudes come out and they're laying the palm branches and he's riding on the white donkey? He's riding through and everybody's going, all hail, you know, Hosanna, blessed he's coming in the name of the Lord. And they're all there and multitudes come out to see it all. They're all there looking at Jesus. Except a lot of them were there to see who he just raised from the dead. That was being divinely designed because the resurrection was walking through the streets. Because in 7 days, you're going to put this man to death. But I'm already testifying to you. He is the resurrection. And I am the Father that's raising. And I've already raised one and I'm about to raise another from the dead. That's why he said, Father, glorify the name. He goes, I've already glorified it once in Lazarus and I'm going to glorify it again with you. Oh, hallelujah. Feel that? They were palm branch. I didn't look at all the verses. You can look at them later. Verse 17. Look what happened. They're right in the middle of Palm Sunday, branches, everything. He's riding on the white donkey. And the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, they were bearing record. And most of your translations will say they were continuing to spread the word and testify it. For this cause, it reached into Jerusalem, into Palm Sunday. The crowds come out to see not only the Lord, but they were coming out to see the one he raised from the dead. The Father was testifying that death will no longer hold man down. And he doubled the testimony that I'm about to remove death itself. And he doubled it in 1 week. In the space of 2 weeks, he raised two people from the dead in the grave that had been there over 3 days. Notice what it said in verse 18, for this cause the people also met him on Palm Sunday, for they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive how you prevail nothing with all your consultations. The whole world has gone after him. That's the kind of gospel. Ah. I mean, your preaching this week and the power of God was so powerful this week that multitudes are talking about it next week. This was 7 days after Lazarus from the dead and crowds are still forming. Holy Ghost was out there. That group of people that witnessed that went out everywhere. Said, we just watched somebody come out of the grave for 4 days. Palm Sunday, people! Half of that crowd was there to see the man that was raised from the dead. To bear witness, resurrection life was in the earth. The one that was about to set them free from death itself was riding in. I like the word. So, all this is still going. It goes all the way down into chapter 12. Now watch this. We're going to close with this. Okay, John 12, verse 23. They're still real. They're all there. All those group of people there. They come in there and Philip comes in there. They're in the feast now. They're in Jerusalem. All these people, all this is going on. And Jesus starts talking now. He answered and said to them, the hour's come now. It's my turn. He goes, you just witnessed it. It's my turn. That the Son of Man should be glorified. I'm going to get to return to my Father, but he's going to tell you how he's going to go. And he said, except the corn of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I am the corn of wheat now that's going to die for humanity. Just like Lazarus, I'm going to come out of that grave. And when I do, I'm going to bear much fruit. Now watch what he says. If any man serve me, verse 26, let him follow me into the cross, into the death, into the burial. You're not going to literally do that, but literally you do. He's saying when you call upon me, your old man's going to be buried. It's going to be laid on the cross, death, burial, and resurrection. Watch this. Let him follow me to where I am. There shall my servant be. He's already talking about the resurrection now. Now that it starts coming on him in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour I came, and that's when the Father speaks the mystery. Verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. And he speaks audibly. He said, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again with you. He was saying, I just glorified it with Lazarus, and I'm going to glorify it again with you. The death has no more hold upon mankind. The people, therefore, that stood by heard it and said, it thundered. And notice what Jesus said. He answered and said, this voice come not because of me. This is for you to know it's the Father that's been doing all this. And he's about to do it again. He's telling them what's about to happen. Now you have to understand why the Father had to put the spirit of slumber over the nation of Israel. You know why? They would have never, ever offered him up if they knew who he was. He had to put blindness in part over them so they would offer the final sacrifice. So the Father could raise him from the dead after he paid the price. Pretty good, huh? Now is the judgment of this world, and if I be lifted of the earth by way of the cross, and through the cross into the resurrection, I will draw all men unto me where I am. See, you see, in verse 40, the first resurrection, Jesus is going to be the second. Nevertheless, verse 42, many of the chief rulers also believed on him. Chief rulers, he shook up the entire religious establishment. I mean, he went in there with a hammer. The Father, when he comes in, he'll come in with a hammer that's not of this world, and he will break that whole thing. He'll shatter it. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, get this, you're not believing on me. You believe on him that sent me. For he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. He's basically telling him, the one you're about to put to death, you better know it's the Father in me. John 14, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you will do also, just like it's been recorded in this book. The Father's going to shake the whole world up again. Get ready. Everything's going to shake. He's going to turn his people loose with a Father dwelling in them. We're all getting caught up into the love of the Father. We're all going to be perfected there. We're all going to be sanctified there. We're going to be set apart, and the world's going to be separated from us. And we're going to be sent from above. The Father's going to be with us, just like you read in these pages. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for what you've given us. The glory, the awesome glory of what's being revealed, what you're granting. Grant great, great, great grace to this family of believers and all that's listening to come up to where you are, to sup with you, to be loved, separated, sanctified, and prepared for true service of the kingdom of God, that you may send us and be with us, the Lord Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, with his last day bridal company. Father, grant the grace. Let not one person in here be sleeping during this hour. Let us be sober in your glorious name. Amen.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.